Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by David and Joanne Baker.
Thank you. As anyone, as a Christian, you think, you know, everything is wonderful and you're supposed to be perfect, and then you go to work and you think, oh, I don't want to go. Or you meet somebody and you think, oh, I've just put my foot in it, or something like that. And often you can make mistakes. You can often feel as if you're not actually doing what you're supposed to be doing and living as you're supposed to be living, even if it's a few moments in a day. And often that's because you're not focusing on God. You've took your eyes off God. You've looked around and been distracted by the enemy or whatever it is. And I just want to encourage you today with the verses that I'm going to bring. So although some of it might be a little bit negative, it's not to say we're all terrible. It's to warn us to look for the signs when we maybe get distracted or turn away from God by just the ways of the world. You know, that God is always there. He always wants the best for us. He always has the best for us. And all we need to do is just turn back to him and everything is back to how it should be. So we're going to start with Psalm 1 and the first three verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And that's how we should be. We don't always do it, but it's how we should be. But this is how we are to be in God, and how he wants us to be. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. God wants us by the river. He wants us by living waters. He wants us planted there with our roots deep. He wants us to be spiritually fruitful and also healthy. You look at the leaves and the leaves show how healthy a tree is. And he wants us to prosper in everything that we do. But we need to stay connected to God to allow that to happen. We can often dry up if we get distracted, or we forget about God, or we go our own way, or, you know, things of the world come in and we get worried. But it's easy to be restored. We just go back to that living water of God. Get our roots down deep. And then we're restored. So we're going to look in Jude, which is just before Revelation. And we're going to read two verses from Jude. And this is to the ungodly people, the ones that don't follow God, the ones that are evil, basically. But I was thinking, it's in the Bible. Why would God put this in the Bible when they wouldn't be reading it anyway, because they're not going to follow God? Surely it must be for us to look out for the signs when we get distracted, when we lose our way, when the world comes in. And if we look at these signs, then we can think, okay, I'm not in the stream. I'm not focusing on God today. I'm not connected to God today like I should be. So I need to get back in that place. So Jude chapter verse 12 and 13. These are spots in your love feasts. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried away by the winds. Late autumn leaves without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. These are raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So it's just two verses that I'm going to share on. So we need to stay connected to God, but be aware of the warning signs. And in these two verses, there are six things that are mentioned. So we need to be like the tree that's planted by the river, but these six signs show us when we're getting a little bit astray. If anyone's taking notes, the six things are spots, shepherds, clouds, trees, waves, and stars. So we're going to go through each one of these in turn to show how not to be, and how if anything that comes into our life that is here, it's a sign to get back to God. So first of all, it says that there are spots in our love feasts. Now, the Greek for the word spot here is spilos or spilas, which means hidden reefs. So are there any days that we may feel like we're being hidden reefs? So what's a hidden reef? First of all, it's something that is dangerous. It's a danger to everyone around us. Secondly, it's something that can collect slime and dirt and filth. Sometimes we get things rub off on us and we're not aware of it. And we'll come home really annoyed and angry. And yet it's not our anger, it's somebody else's that's rubbed off on us. Thirdly, they're hidden. They're secretive. They're not honest and truthful. Sometimes we can hide our true selves from each other because we're scared or because we've done something that we don't want people to know about. But we need to be honest with each other. We need to be transparent. We were watching Titanic last night, and only the tiniest bit of the iceberg was coming out of the sea. Are we showing our fullness to people, or are we just showing the tip of that iceberg? And the underneath part is the bit that's dangerous, the bit that causes damage to people. Our conduct and our presence may damage people if we behave badly. We are people that may wreck others. So are we a hidden reef for 5 minutes in our day? Are we wandering off in those few minutes? If we are, get back to the river. Secondly, it mentions shameless shepherds. People that are self-serving. People who don't need anyone else. People that rule themselves, that nourish themselves, that feed and supply themselves. They don't need anyone else. They've got everything they need, and they supply their own needs. They've no need of anybody else. They don't submit to authority. They're bold and fearless, but in a negative way, because they're arrogant. They're shameless and guilty, and yet they don't really care, because they're just after number one. They just want what's best for me. And that's at the expense of anyone and everyone that gets in my way. Now, I'm not saying that we're like that, but sometimes we can act and think afterwards, that wasn't very kind. That was thinking about me then. We need to make sure that when we give our best, it's not just for us to get something out of it. Are we getting involved with things so we can get something out of it? Are we getting the best that is on offer? Or are we just serving because we want to serve? So we need to be careful of our attitudes, really. The third thing is waterless clouds. What is a waterless cloud? Well, it's a cloud without water. It looks exactly the same as a cloud with water. There's no difference from outward appearances. But there's no water in it. It has no purpose. It's used up all the water in it. It's dry. It's negative. It's gloomy. It blocks out the light of the sun. And sometimes someone can walk in a room and be the light. And other times, you can feel dry and you can bring gloom in. And we need to be conscious of that. And if we're feeling like that or acting like that, come back to the river. There's no living water in them. They lack good water. Not only that, but because they've got no water in them, they're blown by the wind. They're driven by doubt and hesitation, false doctrine. And in some ways, they're a bit like me when it comes to the EU, because I'm led from one opinion to another. And one day I'm definitely in, and the next day I'm definitely out. And we can be like that with our faith. We can be so driven by theologies and opinions that we don't know what we believe sometimes. So don't be a cloud. When you're feeling like a cloud, remember, we're supposed to be like a tree. But not like the tree that is mentioned in this verse. These are unhealthy trees. So number four is trees that are unhealthy. It mentions in the King James Version four types of tree. In most it doesn't, but in the King James it does. So the first tree it mentions are trees that are in their autumn of their life. They've got fruit on them, but the fruit has withered and it's sickly. The second tree doesn't have any fruit at all. Now, I'd rather be the first one than the second one, because at least I had some fruit. It might have gone bad, but at least I had some in the first place. So it's a slow progression, if you look, from one type to another. The third tree looks dead, and it is dead, because the roots have died. So there's no chance of the roots providing water for it, because the roots are dead. And that in here it's called twice dead. But we're born again. We're twice born. We're not twice dead. The fourth type is a tree that's been completely plucked up. The roots aren't in the ground anymore. No tree can survive if the roots aren't in the ground anymore. There's no hope for it. So as we look, we've got a sickly tree with its fruit that has withered. Then if we get maybe a little bit further from God, we get no fruit at all. We're not able to produce fruit because we're not in the river. Thirdly, we're looking dead. We're not able to draw the water from God because we're not connected to God. And finally, if we really do stray that far away from God, not that we can't come back, but it's our choice, we become a tree that is hopeless. It has no roots in the ground at all. There's no soil, there's no food, there's no water, there's no hope. So as you see the progression from one to another, the decline, and often it's a decline that we don't always see. We can think that we're doing okay, and we wander off a little bit. We think, we're all right, we'll do a little bit more. Get further away from God, and before we know it, we're not connected to God at all, and we're dying. So remember, come back to the river. The fifth thing is a raging wave. Now, what's a raging wave? It's a savage, fierce, raging, violent thing. Do we let our anger get the better of us sometimes? A raging wave churns up all the foam. And in here it mentions that the foam is shameless words. Or maybe you've said something, you maybe sworn, or you've said something that's really unkind. That is like the foaming of the waves that it's talking about. Also, waves churn up things that are hidden. All the filth of the bottom of the sea. All the things that you don't really want people to see, that you're hidden, you're hiding away. You've not dealt with it with God. And because you're getting angry, it's coming to the surface and people are seeing it. You can feel restless, you can be impulsive and not trusting God. And it also mentions about that the beach, when the wave comes on the beach, it drags everything from the beach. Are you dragging everything from other people by your anger, by your aggression, leaving nothing on the beach except for your own shame? Some days you might feel like that. Get back to the river. And finally, it mentions stars. Now, it's not a comet that it's talking about. It's not a meteorite. It's a star. So it's something that resembles, well, it's something that's hot. Something that resembles Christians. It's talking about Christians, really. Well, I think it is. But this star, it's wandered off. It's gone its own way. It's wanting its independence from the body. It's doing its own thing. It's going its own way. And it's on its own because nobody's with it. Now, when I look up in the stars and look for certain stars, I know where they are because they're in a constellation. Orion is in a specific place every time I look. It's not over there one day and down there another day and having a walk around and wandering around. It's in its constellation. It's in relationship with the other stars around it. And we need to be connected with God and also in relation to others. I know that I'm in relationship and in constellation with Claire, with Paul, with Brian, with all the people here, and everyone knows where I am. But if I wander off, you don't know where I've gone. And then I get cold, I get lost, I get feel as if I've been abandoned because I've gone my own way. We need to be in connection with each other and in connection with God. So finally, remember Psalm 1. Be aware of the warning signs. Be aware when you're drifting from God. Be aware when you're doing things your own way and you shouldn't be. Remember that you're in the vine. If we remain in the vine, God remains in us. If we move away from that, then we start looking like these different things, we need to think, I need to get back to the vine. I need to get back. Not that we've come out of the vine, but we've come out of that relationship. The further we wander, the further out we'll get. We need to get back to be a tree that is by the streams of living water. We need to be planted by the river and be fruitful and leafy and prosper. So when you're feeling one day, am I a tree today? Or am I a wave? Maybe I'm a cloud today. Get back as a tree. Be in God, connected with God and with each other. Amen.
Fabulous. Good morning. We are so blessed as a congregation because we have such rich teaching here. And especially recently, we've been taught about getting grafted into the vine, getting connected, staying connected to know who you are in Christ and whose you are in Christ. And because of whose you are, who you are. And also, we've been taught about sowing and reaping and about standing firm. So we need to apply what we learn so that the seeds that have been faithfully sown in us by these men and women of God that have studied the word, heard from God what God wants to say to us today, that those seeds actually grow in us and reap a harvest. Now, I'm a practical girl, and so I've decided today I'm going to share how I've applied these messages recently and how they are growing in me and in my soil and how they're changing me. And I'm going to share the tools that have helped me personally. 4 weeks ago, I was walking to church, and to be fair, I was a little bit frustrated that my body was experiencing numerous symptoms and effects of stress and anxiety, and yet I didn't feel stressed or anxious, and I rarely do, but I had all these symptoms going on. And I asked God for help, and he brought scriptures to my remembrance, like, fret not, do not worry, be anxious for nothing, cast your care, and I was just declaring these out as I was walking along. And he showed me that for me, my being stressed and anxious was in fact not his will for my life. That's not how he wants me to be. He wants me to be full of life. He wants me to be at ease and with that peace that he's already given to me. Now, when God convicts, or God convicts, but the enemy condemns. So when you hear a voice that is kind of really pulling you down, oh, I'm a worm, then you know that's not God, okay? But when God convicts, he lifts us up and it's like, yay, I've got the answer. It's a really good thing. And it's really important to know the difference. So I said to God, well, you know, you need to show me when I'm in situations that I have an opportunity to become stressed and anxious, because I just don't know what they are. And so I decided to act on this revelation that God gave me and to prepare myself a stronghold buster. Now, some of you are thinking, what on earth is she babbling on about? And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. So a stronghold buster is something to do with freedom in Christ. And in Galatians 5 verse 1 it says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. He doesn't want us to be burdened any longer by a yoke of slavery, something to push us down. He wants us free and free in him. And that's why as a church, for years and years, we've offered freedom in Christ for people to be part of. For those who haven't done it, next time we do start a new one, please get yourself there. It's fantastic. It will free your life. For those of you that are doing it, you'll get to this, so you'll understand what I'm talking about. And for those of you that have done it, like me, years ago, you may well want to look back at that tool that you were given and actually bring it back to life. So, this is my stronghold buster. It's just pink, so it's not so glaring on the eyes. And that's the only reason. And normally what you do is you declare the lies that you are believing or that God has shown you that you're believing, and then you declare the truth. Now, after 40 days of declaring the lies, I don't really want to be doing that anymore. So I've taken that off and I just declare the truth. And I've done this one recently because of what I've been thinking about. And I've got a chart down there that just helps me to remember where I'm at. I'm nowhere near that. I'm down here somewhere. But this is the one I keep in my diary just in case I'm away. So I'm a few weeks in and I'm already noticing the difference. I'm recognising when I have opportunities to be anxious or stressed and what those situations cause me and how I react to them. Now, for you, it might be something totally different. It might not be anxiety. It might not be stress. It could be something totally different. But it could be just a stronghold that's kind of in your life that you need to get rid of. So I'm going to go to a number of scriptures, and you might just want to record the references rather than look them up to you. So Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, the word of God is powerful and it's living and active and it's sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates, it cuts through bone and marrow, thoughts and attitudes of the heart. All right, that's a powerful scripture and that is wonderful. So I want to say to you, first of all, it says, is it living? So the word of God is living. That means it's alive. That means it's breathing, and that means it's not dead. I want to say to you, is your Bible just existing or is it alive? Is it stuck on the shelf gathering dust? I've actually got loads of Bibles and they are on the shelf gathering dust because that's the one I'm using at the moment. But does it look good from the last time that you were actively passionate about your word and you've got colour-coded highlights in it, like me? Or is it that you read it every day, but you don't do anything else after it? Or is it that you read it and you apply it to your life? Something for you to think about. It's active, which means it's not doing anything. It's not doing anything. It's dynamic. If an area of water was not active, it would be stagnant. And what happens when water goes stagnant? It smells. It's not good. And there's no life in it. And it cuts through to bone and marrow. It's a really sharp sword. And it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Now, it shouldn't be us that judge people. We should really allow the word of God to judge people. And it does it perfectly. So, here in the Amplified, because that's the one I use. For the word of God speaks, is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing and effective. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates to dividing line of breath of life, the soul, which is mind, will, and emotions, and the immortal spirit, and the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of nature. It's exposing, it's sifting, and it analyzes. It judges the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. It's powerful, is this word of God, and it's a gift to us. So if we go to another scripture, which is Jeremiah 23, verse 29, it says, "Is not my word like fire that consumes all that can endure the test, says the Lord? And is it not like a hammer that breaks into pieces the rock of the most stubborn resistance?" Now, this area of my life, I've not recognised before, but I've recognised that there have been symptoms for years. But I didn't know what it was until God revealed it to me. So it could well be that this is a stubborn area of resistance. So that's why I need to use the Word of God as my tool to break that area of my life, because it doesn't belong in my life. James 1 verse 2 says also, and it's not 2, it's 22, "But be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners of it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth." We need to be doers of the word, not just hearers. We can hear the word on Sunday, but if we don't do anything about it, what was it for? We need to be doers of the word, and that's our responsibility. And then if we go to John 8, verse 32, it says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But you don't just have to know it, you need to apply it, you need to live by it. And then that truth has power, it's living and active, and it will set you free. And then in John 14, verse 27, which has really been on my heart for some time, and it's number 5, it says, "Peace I leave with you." This is Jesus speaking. "My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful, intimidated, and cowardly." Wow, that's quite powerful. Now, he's already given me his peace, so there's no point me asking for him for peace, because he's already given it to me. So I actually need to be activating that peace. And this is where the lovely Stronghold Buster comes in. So what I've done is I've turned some of these scriptures around and personalised them so that I can actually apply them to my life. And what I do first thing in the morning, when the hair dryer's on so David can't hear me and hopefully the neighbours can't either, I just declare these out first thing in the morning. And it says, "I will not let my heart be troubled, distressed, and agitated." So I've turned it into, I will not allow it. So it's me not allowing it. It's my responsibility. "Neither will I be afraid, worried, or disturbed. I live in the peace and assurance that God has given to me and will not allow myself to be fearful, intimidated, cowardly, or unsettled." That's quite a powerful declaration, first thing. So God has been showing me, since I've been doing this, situations where I've been unsettled, where my heart has not been quite right, where I've been troubled, where I've been distressed. And I've not realised this before, so I'll give you a very, very quick illustration. I was at a gym class on Wednesday, and this lady was in there, and she put her mat in a certain place. And as we tend to get a little bit older, we tend to get a little bit territorial. And so I then come in and put my mat here, where I've done before. And her friend comes in, and she's obviously put in a space for her friend. Now, I don't know, because I've not been for ages, that she normally goes here. So she puts her mat there and overlaps mine by quite a way. And I'm standing there thinking, just carry on doing what you're doing. And then she said, "So what?" This friend said, "So where am I going then?" And she said, "Well, you can go there." And she said, "Well," she said, "I'm hoping this very kind lady will move her mat." And I said, "So something's rising up. Can you feel it?" Something's rising up. And so I say, "Would you like me to move my mat?" thinking, please don't let the tone of voice that I'm wanting to come out, come out. And so I move my, very graciously, move my mat over to here. And as I do, I say to the lady next to me, we're so territorial, aren't we? And then I carry on. We're going for this very relaxing exercise and everything, and inside I'm going, and I'm really, this stuff is really getting up, and I'm getting really quite annoyed. I'm even tempted to glare at this lady, and it's like, this is just not me, come on. Now, this is what, in a way, what we heard earlier, that, you know, you can allow yourself to be troubled, you can allow the peace to get away from you. So I was, as I was there, I'm like, Joanne, do not allow that woman who you don't know to steal your peace. And you're supposed to be salt and light. So where's the light right now? Okay. So I'm talking to myself and I'm getting myself sorted. But I have to say, it did take most of the session, which was a shame. But I was lovely. Okay, the next one is, I will not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, I present my request to God, and his peace guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. That is, again, yet another powerful scripture. Now, that's from probably the NIV version of the Bible, but in the Amplified it says, it will shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and your minds. That's very kind of full on. The next one, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. When you read the word of God, mean what you say. Don't just, the word of God, mean it. And then the next one, which I love, I choose to keep myself calm today. Yeah, even when I'm doing Pilates. I choose to keep myself calm today in the face of any adversity. Now, that was a scripture that is Psalm 94 verse 13, and it does say that you may give him power to keep himself calm in the days of adversity. I like that scripture. I will use that scripture. And then the next one is, I will not rely on my own understanding today, but will lean on, trust in, and be confident in my Lord with all my heart and mind. In all my ways, I will recognize and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain my paths. Today, I will not be wise in my own eyes, but will reverently fear and worship the Lord and turn entirely from evil. That's Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 7. Now, it's really important to declare who you are. Even if sometimes you don't believe who the Bible says you are, you need to declare it. So in Proverbs 31, verse 25 and 27, it talks about strength and dignity. So I declare, strength and dignity are my clothing. And already I'm standing up tall. My posture counts. My position is strong and secure. So regardless what the enemy wants me to believe, you're insecure, you're miserable, this is the truth. So my position is strong and secure. I rejoice over the future. There is no need to worry. God tells us not to. The bread of idleness, gossip, discontent and self-pity, I will not eat. That's powerful. So when all the lovely ladies at work are, I don't party with it. I don't eat it. I don't join in. When I have an opportunity to lick my wounds and get into self-pity, I don't throw a party and I certainly don't invite my friends to it. All right, and so I deal with that. And then the next one says, so if you haven't been around for a party lately, you know why. I am sure, certain, and have no cause for worry or fear because God's perfect love, activated by my faith, casts out all fear. I declare that I am a secure, accepted, faithful person, full of hope and joy. Declare who you want to be. Declare who the Bible says you are. Now, very quickly, just to finish, the other thing I've started using as well is called a prayer trigger. So if a situation happens that is where the enemy constantly gets rid of your peace or anything like that, I use this prayer trigger. It's a 3-second prayer that I use every time that situation comes up. I've done it before in the past and it's worked amazingly. So the one I normally use is, release your glory in Scarborough, Lord. Now, the enemy doesn't want the glory of God to be released in Scarborough, okay? I'm passionate about Scarborough, and so I do, and I know God does. It's his purpose. So every time this situation will come at me, I will say, release your glory in Scarborough, Lord. And sometimes it has been 30 or 40 times before I finish getting ready in the morning, all right? Because the enemy does like to, it's a bit boring, really. It does like to remind you about the same old. But we, as Claire said the other week, he shouts. So we need to recognise that and fight it. Now, recently God has shown me that sadly my perception of myself has been, notice the tense, has been that I'm a failure and that what I've done in the past has been a failure. Now, that's a load of cobblers. It's not true. But that's what the enemy does tell me, and I start to believe that, blah, blah, blah. And so now my prayer trigger is, I'm victorious and I'm an overcomer. So every time that comes at me, I'm like, no, I'm victorious and I'm an overcomer. So the prayer trigger is really powerful, and I'd really encourage you to use it as a tool because it's excellent. So we need to stay connected. We need to get connected, stay connected. We need to know who we are in Christ, believe the Bible, believe what the Bible says about us, and to know whose we are. And to stand firm. Because all of this, well, all these tools, all they do is makes me stand firm as who I am in Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.